do I have a podcast for you. And I've thought about this podcast every single day since I've recorded it, because there is so much in this that you can take away and apply to your life. I'm so excited to welcome Sophie Murray to the Good Glow podcast. Before we get into it, thank you to Centrum Multibiotics Complete for supporting the Good Glow this season. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, you'll know I'm always trying to make wellness less complicated. I think there was a time when I believed I had to do all of the things all of the time. But these days, I'm much more interested in habits that I can actually stick to and that work. The big thing for me is when I can understand why I'm doing something, I'm far more likely to keep doing it. So Centrum Multibiotics Complete is part of my morning routine. Let me tell you why. It's a daily food supplement that combines 18 essential vitamins and minerals and 18 scientifically proven strains for my gut in one capsule. It even includes vitamin D for normal immune function and vitamin B12 to support energy release. One capsule, once a day, that's it. I don't overcomplicate my days, but looking after myself is a big priority. So for me, it's the little things that I do consistently that make the biggest difference. You can find Centrum Multibiotics Complete in Tesco, Dunnes stores and Boots in store and online. Sophie Murray on the podcast today. This podcast is next level. Lots of you will know Sophie. She is one of Ireland's biggest influencers. She's got a heart of gold, and her personality, her warmth, her kindness has led to her having more than 1 million followers across Instagram and TikTok. And she is a ray of sunshine. But today, Sophie and I talk about so much and more than I ever expected. Sophie speaks about her relationship with herself and how she's worked really hard to improve it. She speaks about turning to wine more than she should have last year and how she got herself out of that hole. She speaks about her beautiful dog, Belle, who was stolen from her mum's house last year, and everything that that brought to her life. Sophie goes deep on this podcast. I mean, she's a soul sister. We always have the deep and meaningfuls when I see her. But I was surprised by how much she opened up on this podcast, because she didn't have to, but she did. Sophie is marrying my gorgeous brother, Sam. There's 11 years between myself and Sam. I remember the day he was born, and it's been one of the biggest honors of my life to watch him grow over the last 30 years. They are so made for each other. They are so in love, and their energy is infectious. I hope you enjoy this podcast. And to you, Sophie, thank you so much for what you bring to the world. Not only is it full of joy and love and kindness, like I said, but it's really important. And you speaking your truth today is going to change someone's life. I just know it will. Like I said, I cannot stop thinking about this podcast since I recorded it, and I really hope you enjoy it. Sophie Murray, welcome to the Good Glow.
Hi.
I've waited so many years to say those words.
But it's season 20. I think it's fitting. It's just giving. It's everything. I'm so happy.
So this week on Instagram, I was asking people, who from my family do you think is going to be on the Good Glow this week? Obviously, everyone was hoping that it was going to be you. You know, I always say God didn't bless me with sisters, but he blessed me with the most incredible sister-in-law.
I'm going to cry.
You and the amazing Julie and Jean and Kira. And we're so lucky. Mm. You are such a big part of our family. We are embarking on the most exciting year as you get ready to marry my brother.
Mm, yeah.
But I want to go way back to the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
because people, I think, are so curious about you and your life. And do you feel that from people?
Well, it's funny, even when you say people, you ask who from your family that people want to hear from, people said me. A lot of people don't realize we're connected, I think. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's my audience, because it's, I don't know why, but I just sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, like Georgie's my like future sister-in-law. And they're like, what? Like people don't realize that you're Sam's sister sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to me that people have connected that and said that. So I'm so grateful that people were even expecting me.
I think
the reason maybe people, so many people don't know we're connected is because we do keep the family stuff quite private, don't we?
Totally. And I think that also says so much about us and our relationship, that our work is our work. Like, we have such a good relationship ourselves. So it was natural, actually, that it was now that we're doing it, because we've always had this relationship and now we can bring it to work and whatever. We can do it online, but we've always had like us at home, and we keep, I think, our private things private.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I think that's because we knew each other before it all blew up for you.
Yeah.
You know, Sam was chatting about this beautiful girl, Sophie, who worked in Charlotte Tilbury and completely rocked his world. And then you came in and you rocked our worlds too. And we absolutely adore you.
You're honestly going to make me cry, because I always think I won the lotto with in-laws. I just got so blessed with you guys. You really are my family. Like, I wouldn't even say second family, you're my family. And I just am always so grateful for that. So as much as I maybe rocked Sam's world, he rocked my world.
Oh, let's go back to baby Sophie, Sophie's childhood. Mm. Because there's people probably don't even realize that you lived in Australia for a time as well.
Yeah, that's another thing. As I do kind of these chats, I'm like, yeah, there is some things that I don't really talk about much online. So yeah, my mom was born in Australia. Then we all grew up here, and then her siblings were still in Australia. So she thought, oh, I'm missing my siblings. I have all the kids. Let's all move. So we all moved. I was five. So I was very small. I do remember bits of it, but that's how my siblings now, so my middle three are still in Australia, because we all have the Australian passports. So when people here have an Australian passport, why are you still here? But I love Ireland. I wouldn't move that far away. But yeah, so my three siblings are there and I miss them all the time. But I think so many people can relate to that, as their siblings or friends being in Australia. But yeah, so I was in Australia for a while. That was 5 years old, so I don't remember much. Came back and then grew up, was born in Ireland, grew up in Ireland, went to Australia for a year, came back, and I've been here since.
And why did you go and come back? Was that for parents' work? Or?
Yeah, my mum again, so she was like, let's go. We all decided as a family to go. And then I think it was to do with work, that it just, not that it didn't work out. We had a fabulous time and we all loved it. I was in kindergarten. I wore like the little Australian sun hat, which was your uniform. It was so cute. Like, it was really different to here, obviously. But we did end up coming back. I think it was probably to do with work at the time. Mm. And yeah, that was it.
So you grew up then in Killiney. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, maybe looking from the outside in, would look at how beautiful you are, and you're from this outside of Dublin, and you know, you are so privileged. But it wasn't completely straightforward. And you know, you have spoken about how close you are to your mum, and that relationship is rock solid.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, and where did that come from?
Again, so I won the lotto with in-laws and I won the lotto with my mom. I think you're the same, like you and Shivy, me and my mom, we're so blessed with the relationships we got. So yeah, I grew up in a beautiful area. I grew up in a bubble. Like, I really am aware of that and I know that. And it was until my bubble kind of burst, 18, family split, like all that kind of stuff, moved to Rathcoole with my mom. And that really probably brought me and my mom even closer. But since I came out the womb and was still attached to that woman. Like, everywhere we went, holding her hand, we have this thing where she'd squeeze twice, I'd squeeze five, she'd squeeze three. Like, we just had this little thing together. And she's always been my best friend. But I think that time in Rathcoole, after leaving the family home, and it was just me and her then, it really made us even closer. I think being an adult as well, you have way more empathy for your mom. She had four kids by the time she was my age, because I'm the fifth. So when I think of that, it's crazy. So yeah, I'm blessed with her. She's my best friend. She's taught me the best parts of me. She's everything.
So my parents split up when I was two. And so I have absolutely no recollection. Like, life was always, you know, with Mum and Joe, and then my dad had his life.
Yeah.
It must be a completely different experience when your parents split up when you're an adult.
I feel I'm luckier that it happened later, but that's just my experience. But because I was 18 and it wasn't like a fabulous couple that I looked up to as what I want in my life. So it wasn't like this devastating, how could they split? I wouldn't say it wasn't surprising. how it happened was surprising, and it did come out of nowhere almost. It kind of, everything kind of blew up. So it's very different, but I think probably easier for everyone in the sense of you're not having to tell little kids that mom and dad are splitting. Like, we're all adults. Obviously, it's sad because it's, seeing my mom go through it was horrendous and everything it brought us. So yes, different, but I, in my opinion, think better, because before all that, I did have a fabulous childhood. Like, I had a beautiful upbringing. Like I said, I was in a bubble, and I'm very aware of that. You know, I'll always get comments of, oh, D4, or, oh, daddy's money, things like that. But take daddy's money as a compliment. So I'm like, okay, you're calling me a rich man. Thank you. Thank you so much, because I've done this on my own, truly. And I'm so glad it happened. I know that sounds strange. You know, when you hit rock bottom and you're thinking, why is this happening? Why is this happening? In hindsight, it made me who I am, I think.
Yeah. And you can see that in everything that you have built. Tony Robbins, one of my favorite documentaries, Not Another Guru. I watched it years and years ago, and I've watched it many times since. And I remember there was this girl, and she was in the arena, and people stand up and they tell their stories. And she was telling, you know, this really sad story. And Tony was like, you're lucky that happened to you. That has made you who you are today. That has made you not stand for certain things. That has made you the woman who is standing before me and is going to build all these incredible things. And I think, you know, these earthquake, you know, moments come along in our life. And like what Gabby Bernstein says, the wound is the place where the light enters you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So let's talk. So you're 18...
Oh, sorry, am I jiggling? Oh, wait, is it my bangles?
Bracelet. Also, my mum just rang me there. Sam, will you just text mum and say, did she ring me by accident?
Yeah.
So you're 18 and it's a new beginning. And did that kind of change in your life put a fire in your belly?
Oh, that's such a good question. Because in hindsight, yes, like in hindsight, it changed everything. At the time, I'd also was, so yeah, I was going through my first breakup, and 6 months later, my family, that whole thing happens. So I was in the gutter. Like, I described that as my first rock bottom bubble burst, which it needed to be burst. I needed to, like, I was just stuck in this privileged little, almost things were handed to me. Like, I absolutely grew up very blessed and very lucky, and the bubble had to pop. So I was going through the lowest of low, and it was from that that I was like, I can either stay like this and hate myself, because I was already, this whole thing made me realize how I spoke to myself and the self-loathing that I was doing, and like how I dealt with rejection, because that was a double whammy rejection. Yeah. You know, first boyfriend and man in your life, like, you know, double whammy. So I was dealing with this total chaos and everything that it made me realize, okay, something's got to give, like something's got to change. Yeah. And it did, in hindsight, set a fire. I don't think at that time was I like, but I remember my mom and my sister Lucy coming into me. I was in the bed bawling, crying, wouldn't get up. It was my first year of college, and I wouldn't go, no, I'm not going. Just in self-pity, loathing, which I think sometimes you have to do. You have to just sit and
let it all fall down.
Let it all fall down. And they were like, no, up yet. And that is very much my mom. Like, she is so resilient, and she's been through so many things that knock her or should have her in the gutter, but she never lets it put her there or keep her there. So yeah, they tore me out of the bed, ripped open the curtains to the daylight at like 2 in the day. And that was kind of it. It was get up and get back at it. That's my mum. We don't wallow. We don't wallow. Like, get up, girl.
So you, I've been lucky enough to meet Madre,
Kathy,
your amazing mum, and she is quite strong. And I think her nature is like yours, is quite happy-go-lucky. You know, Kathy's always in great form, always up for a great chat.
Yeah.
So by the sounds of it, she was almost stronger in that time than you were.
She held, and what was going on, she held it all down. Like, she was so
and what she must have been going through, we didn't see it. Like, she, for us, kept it together, was making sure we were okay and we were looked after. And again, like, back at 18, you kind of don't, you're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking like, oh God, like, this is happening to my mom. You just think, oh, it's happening to me. It's happening to me. But she, yeah, she, me and her are the same person. I get that kind of happy-go-lucky from her. She doesn't stress, she doesn't fret. Like, I could say to her, but what if this happens? She said that won't happen. But what if this thing happens? That's not going to happen. She is queen positivity. Yeah. She just doesn't let you think that the bad things will happen. So yeah. I definitely got that from her.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And actually, you reminded me of something that I haven't thought about in ages. Mm. And all the way back in season one, when I recorded an episode with my own mum, I remember saying to her, like, through my illness, what really helped me was you saying to me all the time, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And even though I knew my mom didn't know if everything was going to be okay, it's still the most comforting thing to 100%. Hear from your mom, isn't it?
It's everything you need. And you know, sometimes you just cry and you're like, I just need my mom, because they're going to be there to just tell you it's going to be okay. And I think it's the one person they say it and you do trust it.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten you this far. You know, so it's like, okay, if she says it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's like a feeling more so than a promise.
Yeah.
So let's talk about then starting off in your career. Mm. And did you always have a feeling that you wanted to work for yourself, or what did you imagine for yourself at that time?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question, because me and Sam have spoken about this before and we kind of share this in common. When I was little, I remember me and my mum walked past a shop and it had shut down. And she was telling me a story. And I just remember being like, I want to do it on my own. I don't want to work for someone. And I was young, so I didn't really know what it meant. But I just remember being like, I want to do it on my own. Like, and then went through school, went into college, didn't know what I wanted to be doing, studied art history and sociology, did arts because I didn't get into psychology again, thought, oh my God, I didn't get what I wanted. I did. But again, it's meant to happen that way. Rejection is redirection, because did art history, sociology was great, met lovely people. But in that, I realized, okay, I'm going to go and do makeup. Went and studied makeup, which then led me to Charlotte Tilbury. And that's where we first officially met. And I met you on the counter before you. I was with Sam. And I was like, Georgie, oh my God, like, such a fan, which is so funny now.
Crazy.
It's like, you're my sister-in-law. But at the time, I was so excited. And yeah, so I just knew the corporate world wasn't for me. And then actually left Charlotte Tilbury and then went into KPMG as a little receptionist. Good morning, how may I help you? I actually loved it. That was me to a T every morning, like, good morning, how may I help you? Room booking? No problem. I loved it.
Did all the KPMG heads think of you? Were you just a ray of sunshine to them?
Well, I knew a lot of them as well, because a lot of them had just finished college and gone into their grad program. So yeah, and a part of me felt a little silly, you know, they're all training to be accountants and I'm here behind the desk. But I also was like, no, like, I always kind of believed in following your own path. And I was never too bad for comparing myself of like, oh God, they're becoming a doctor and this is what I'm. It's like, no, everyone has their own path. Yeah, I'm behind at the reception and they're maybe making a load of money becoming partners of the firm. But I'm really enjoying it here and I like my time here and I know that I will continue and flourish, but right now I don't have to be where they're at. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a race. So it was very funny seeing people that I knew, and yeah, I had a great time there, but I just knew corporate life wasn't for me. Working for someone wasn't for me, which I know is probably quite maybe a bit of a bratty attitude of me, of like, I hate being told what to do, but I just realized I just want to do it on my own. I knew I could do it. I knew I had it in me. I never knew what it was going to be. And I thought it was going to be being a freelance makeup artist, which I was using my Instagram to post about. And then COVID hits and I start talking to my phone, getting the goss from the girls. And it was called Agni Aunt. And that's when my online started. So it was 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
First of all, had such a thought of Suzanne Jackson, who started on the reception in Spin in 98 and went on.
Yeah.
And we were all, you know, still in the office, just in awe of everything she had created. Mm. And I love that point of like, we're all on our own path and, you know, show up as yourself and all will be revealed.
Yeah.
And I think as well with Agony Aunt, and you were, it was loads of people will remember. So you'd go on Instagram and people would write in their dilemmas and you would give your take on it. And a lot of it was really funny. There was a lot of wisdom in Agony Aunt.
Aww.
And I think that came across to people. Mm. And I think it still really comes across in everything you do online. It's not just fashion. It's not just beauty. It's lifting people up and encouraging people to believe in themselves. Oh. And when we look back then at everything you'd been through when you were 18 and on your own journey, like that wisdom was obviously coming through.
Mm. Oh, that's so nice to hear, because that's a big thing for me is I love the fashion. I love the beauty. I love my nice things. But that's not actually what's important in life. And I would have definitely been very materialistic when I was younger, and I have to have this and I have to have that. And I've just gotten older and realized, yes, I still love the nice things, but they're not what's important. And I wanted my audience to, yes, I want to inspire your outfit, give you makeup tips, but I also want you to know that I have been exactly, and maybe still have, the same self-doubt that you have, the negative self-talk. And I want the audience to know, like, I get that and I have that too. And you don't have to be like that. It can change. Like, you can change your thinking. You can change everything about your life if you really put your mind to it and if that's what you want to do. And not be afraid of what everyone thinks of you. In this country, it's small town syndrome. I actually think that's how I began online, was because I was in Rathcoole, which is still Dublin, obviously, but I wasn't bumping into anyone I knew in the shop. I wasn't driving past anyone I knew. So I think a part of me wasn't like, ooh, I might bump into someone right after I post that story. That's really embarrassing. Do you know that? Like, I actually think I felt like I was kind of distanced from it all and was just like, oh, go for it. Just post it. Just talk. And I did. And thank God I did, because that's what got me here today.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I see so many people online. I talk to so many young girls that are like, but how do you do it? Or like, even someone with a business, not even fashion or beauty, not influencing, but just they have a business and they want to talk about it. But how do I talk to camera? Irish people are so scared to show themselves and to be themselves online. People call it cringe. It's so embarrassing. It's cringe until you make it. You got to do the cringe. There's freedom in the cringe. So be cringe.
Oh, I love that. And it reminded me of something myself and Jerry had spoken about. I must go find the episode and I'll link it in the show notes. Mm. And it must have been all about self-belief and taking the plunge and doing the scary thing. And I put that to him. I said, you know, people are afraid maybe because we live in small towns and villages. And he said something that it was like such an aha moment. He said, I come from a small town as a state of mind. That's a story you're telling yourself. And I think it's so interesting that you actually took yourself out, physically out. Mm. And maybe that is,
I think,
the step further that people need to do, or block everybody they know and start, you know, being your true self online, if that's the path you want to go down. Mm. But that's so interesting that actually you physically being somewhere else,
I really think,
set
that
you free.
Yeah. And like, if someone had said, go off and disappear, go somewhere, again, it was literally like 30 minutes away from my friends and stuff. So I wasn't far. I'm talking like I was somewhere far, far away. I was still close by, but it just was, it felt like I was in my own little place. I think that, I don't know, I just have such fond memories of that house, me and my mum in Rathcoole. It was just, and lockdown, like, it was so tragic, but it's when it all began. And I just thought, I'm giving up caring. And I still have to work on that. It's so easy to say, oh, don't care what they think. Don't care what they say. I always have to practice actually not caring. But my delusional, I'm proud of my 25-year-old self, just said, or 24, just stop caring. And I did. I thank her for it. I don't know where she got the gumption. I just went for it.
So cool. Mm. There's so many places that I could take this next, but I think it's really interesting that sometimes we have to go through something to see it in other people. Mm. And the way you were able to give people advice and lift them up. And I think recently you said that you just paused your podcast because you didn't want to be giving people advice when you knew you still had inner work to do.
Totally.
And I think as well for me, sometimes I disappear as well. If I'm having, like, sometimes I could have bad years and I'm like, I feel I can't show up, and people look at me and they're like, oh, you're so fit and you're so healthy and you're so, and I'm like, yeah, but am I?
Am I? Oh my God. And then you're feeling like, am I lying to everyone? It, then you give yourself imposter syndrome then, because people have this idea of you and you're not trying to create this fake idea. It's just what it's, you know, you want to help people, you want to give advice. But I realized it was the start of this year, but last year I realized it was like another rock bottom. I had just gone low without even realizing it. I was drinking all the time, and I've said this on my TikTok, like it wasn't mad nights out, it wasn't anything, it was actually so much drinking at home that sometimes I'd end up drinking a bottle of wine at home and go to bed drunk. Actually, I remember even sometimes getting into the bed, and then I'd wake up feeling like shit but go to Pilates, do the things, but feeling miserable, and then would have another glass of wine then that evening because I need to decompress. And I actually spoke to my therapist about it. I was like, Joanne, I'm a little bit nervous about my drinking. And she was like, well, talk to me about it. She was like, tell me the routine. And I said, well, in the evening, it'll be 5, maybe 6 o'clock. And I'll decide, okay, I'm going to decompress now. I'm going to have a glass of wine. And she's like, okay, well, tell me about the glass. Is it in your water container? Kind of, she was trying to figure out, am I hiding it? Like, am I pouring alcohol and bringing a bottle? You know, that kind of thing. I was like, Joanne, no. It's not that bad. I'm really not like going cray cray. I just at night or in the evening would feel I need to decompress. I need a glass of wine. And then sometimes it could turn into the bottle of wine. It then turned into like Monday to Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday again. And at the end of this year, I just realized, oh my God, Sam, I drank my way through that whole year. What didn't help was Belle, my mum's puppy, got stolen. So then that, I'd say I had a bottle of wine every bloody night, and I became obsessed with finding her, and I got a burner phone. I had a burner phone in case for people to text because my mum was getting prank calls and all this horrible stuff. I had a burner phone. I was on this burner phone. Sam had to be like, Sophie, just put down the phone, like stop. And I was on these resale of puppies all the time. So that was this time last year, actually. So that then made it all kind of even worse and crazier. I was already in the bin, and then that just was like, okay, I can't handle it, because I already wasn't processing any emotions. And then that happens, and I was just like, oh, fuck this, I'm done. And then at the end of the year, I thought, oh my God, I'm not going into 2026 like this. I cannot do it. This is not me. And that's coming back to like taking a break from the podcast and you saying sometimes you feel like, is that me? Because people are seeing this side of you. I just felt like a fraud. I was like, how can I be telling people my favorite quotes that I love and that get me through the day, but I'm living life like this? Like, I'm using drink to suppress any emotions. And I thought I was processing my feelings. I was not processing my feelings. So this year has been like a massive, I flipped it upside down, actually.
Whoa. A short break to thank Centrum Multibiotics Complete for supporting the Good Glow this season. You know me, I used to be the kind of person that put everything away. I don't like clutter, but I'm getting older and wiser in my old age. And now I've realized that I need visual reminders for my healthy habits. So the things that I use every single day stay where I can actually see them. So my SPF is on my skincare shelf, my body oil is on my bedside table, and my Centrum Multibiotics Complete are on the kitchen shelf. So every morning while I'm making breakfast, I can see them. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to go looking for them. They're just there. It's funny how something so simple can make such a difference. So if you want to support your everyday well-being without overcomplicating your routine, why not try Centrum Multibiotics Complete? It's a daily food supplement that combines 18 essential vitamins and minerals and 18 scientifically proven strains for your gut in one capsule. It's developed to support everyday well-being, including vitamin D for normal immune function and vitamin B12 to support energy release. You can find it in Tesco, Dunnes stores and Boots, in store and online.
Again, hindsight. Now, what are we? Almost September.
And I'm just so, so glad I changed it. Because if I didn't do it then, would I have done it at all? Like, I just needed it to stop. And I did Dry January. And again, I set up my TikTok, I have this star chart, and that was to track every day that I didn't drink. And I was really nervous to do it, because then I thought, if I can't do this, then I have a problem.
Yeah.
If I can't get through this, if I can't even do the first few days without a glass of wine, I'm in trouble. It was so much easier than I expected, seeing my little stars build up on the star chart. So now I've kept that star chart until today. It's still going. And all my stars of... Now, I'm not fully sober. I love my drinky poos with the girls or with Sam. Like, I love an occasion drink. Absolutely. But I just had to track that I wasn't going to let the drinking at home come back. And it hasn't. And my stars are there. And then I've added in my 10K step stars and my Pilates stars. And start adding your little stars for any little...
Okay, yeah. Tell me about this chart. Yeah. Like, what does it look like? How can we do
it? I literally just got a calendar, but it's okay. Down on the desk, but anything you like. So a calendar on the wall, wherever. Get packets of stars or stickers, whatever you like. And at the end of every day, put on your stars, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So I was like, oh, I have to get that star today. I have to get that star today. If I don't get that today, I've broken the whole pattern. So I got a little bit obsessed with it. But then we've been at weddings all summer. So the past 2 weeks, I just blocked out, as in there's no stars in them, and that's okay. I was away. We were having drinks at the wedding. I wasn't doing my 10K steps every day. I wasn't at my Pilates. So that's okay. 2 weeks are just blank of no stars. But I allowed myself that. I used to go so hard on, like, okay, well, if I'm locking in now, I can't do anything. I can't eat nice food again. I have to be so strict. I have to live off lettuce. And I used to do it all wrong, that it would never last.
It was all extreme.
It was such extremes. And I have finally found the balance with drink, with food, with exercise, with everything, of not having to push myself to such extremes that I'll just say, oh, this is exhausting, I'm not doing it anymore. Like, it's become a part of my day. Get your steps. If I don't reach 10K, not the end of the world. Just get your little coffee walk in, do a Pilates class this week, and don't drink at home. And yeah, it's really changed.
And do you still feel, say, on a Monday night, like, oh, I'd love a glass of wine?
Totally gone away. Genuinely. And I think it's because stopping it, it was really hard at first. And there's been the odd day, I'd say to something, oh God, yeah, right now I'd love a glass of wine. But last year I would have got up to the shop and gone and got a bottle of wine. But now I'm just like, no, I'll sit with it for a minute and be like, why do I want the glass of wine? Like, what's going
on?
What
am I trying to numb?
And immediately I can then be like, that's been annoying me all day. I didn't even realize. Like, sometimes you could see something on your phone. I'll put the phone down. Then I realize, oh, I'm feeling a little something. Why am I feeling that way? And I'm like, oh my God, it's because that thing I just saw on my phone. And I didn't, if you go throughout your whole day seeing things, absorbing things without actually clocking, like checking on yourself, how did that affect me? Like, is that sitting in my tummy? Is that making me feel really anxious? Yeah.
Whoa, Sophie. Mm. And like, it's so crazy to hear you even say this, because we're family and I didn't even know that.
I know. And that's, even when I say it, I'm like, it was quite hidden. But I also think I'm such a hindsight kind of person. Like, I didn't fully realize what I was doing. I would let the week go by, and internally I'd be like, I shouldn't be drinking this much, but I'd do it again. Okay, I won't have a drink tomorrow. I'd have to drink tomorrow. And it's hindsight that I look back and you don't need another one. Start learning that I don't need one. I don't need one today, and save it. And it's so much more rewarding when you save it. Me and Sam might go to our local and have two little bevvies and then go home, and that's all I need now. Whereas it used to be like, okay, well, let's bring a bottle of something home, you know?
I think it's really important to talk about this because there is so many people listening to this right now that it's even listening to this will make you feel uncomfortable because you're seeing yourself. And I think podcasts are just such a great way to speak your truth. And I also think your generation are absolutely incredible at speaking about alcohol and things like that. And, you know, myself and Jamie back in corporate land, we used to have Wine Wednesdays, right? So Wine Wednesdays were to get us through the week to Friday.
Yeah.
And obviously it didn't it didn't last, thankfully. Mm. But I do think that sometimes you have to have those really uncomfortable conversations with yourself. Thank you so much for sharing that, Sophie. It's so huge. And so glad that you're feeling better.
Next week on The Good Glow, Sophie's back.
It was literally this week last year. My mum rings me and she just says, Belle's gone. And I immediately, what? Like, someone broke in and she's gone. How I'd almost put it is self-love. It's, you have to build self-love, but to gain self-love, you have to get rid of self-loathing.
Yes, there is a second part to my conversation with Sophie, which is coming your way next Sunday. So why did I decide to split it into two parts? Well, I just feel like there is so much in this episode. There is so much to come next week on Sophie's beautiful dog, Belle, on her self-loathing and how she got herself through that and back to a happy place. And there was so much in what we've just listened to. So I just felt like, do you know what? Let's go process everything that Sophie said in the first half and let's go back next week, because next week is even better. Huge thank you to Sophie for everything she has brought to the podcast. I was really blown away by her honesty. You know, you can show up on a podcast and go through the motions, or you can show up on a podcast and speak your truth and change people's lives. And I really believe that that is what Sophie has done this week on the podcast. And I can't wait for you to hear the second half. So, interestingly enough, we are starting the September reset tomorrow. 10 minutes a day for 10 days, a chance to begin again, a chance to rewrite your story for the last 4 months of the year. A clean slate, my favorite time of year, just to get on the same page with yourself. Okay, where am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? And the first day, it's quite relevant to this podcast, actually, because it's about the poisoned arrow. And what is your poisoned arrow? What is the thorn in your side that it is finally time to remove? Is it a way you're living, a story you're telling yourself? And I really think before you level up, you need to let go. And day one of the reset, starting tomorrow, is all about that thorn in your side, that poisoned arrow. And hundreds of us are starting this course tomorrow. So if you want to get involved, the early bird ends tonight, but you can use the code PODCAST for an extra discount. I'll leave a link in the show notes. I cannot wait to bring you the second half of this episode. But in the meantime, before next Sunday, I will be back with Jamie for the bonus episode on Wednesday, where we sit down and we discuss everything from that week's episode, all the behind the scenes content. And Sam and Jamie were in the room for this recording, so I'm really looking forward to his take on it. So that's coming your way Wednesday. Sophie is back next Sunday. And if today impressed you, just wait for next week. I can't wait to bring it to you. Thank you for tuning in today. Appreciate you always. And thank you, Centrum Multibiotics Complete, for supporting The Good Glow. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave me a review. I know everyone says that, but they really do go a long way. Thank you, and I'll see you on Wednesday.